I loved to spend time with my dad in the garage. He was a handyman and he had the tools to go with it. So this old toolbox and some of the old tools that you can see here were my dad's tools, or some of them. Drills and hammers and grinders and welders and screwdrivers and pliers and wheelbarrow and a cement mixer and glass jars filled with nuts and bolts and screws and nails of every size and assortment. They were greasy and they were dirty and they still are. But they were cool because they were Dad's, and I loved to help him work on projects. So we built a trailer together, a shed in the backyard, a path for the garden. And now my son, he loves to play with tools, although he plays with bigger tools than I ever played with. So he drives skid steers and dump trucks and all that kind of stuff. When I was little, I used to carry around a little toolbox of my own, and they had real sorts of tools in them, but it was a kid-sized toolbox, including a saw, which was a real saw and could cut timber, which I was carrying one day, teeth side up and walking along a retaining wall. And you guessed it, I fell off and onto the saw and needed a stitch here. You can't see it because of an eyebrow, really, but that's just good, I suppose, lucky. I think we dads kind of know intuitively that the most important project we will ever have is being a good father to our children. And I reckon every father is put on earth to build something. So it says in Psalm 127, verse 1, if God doesn't build the house, the builders only build shacks. That's the Message translation. So my question for us dads is, are we building the right things and are we building them the right way, or are we wasting our time? So here's some tools for us to think about using. I'm not necessarily going to say something about each one of them. You can think about how they might apply for you. I'll say something about a few of them. In my cupboard at home, there's a bunch of instruction manuals. Now the paper booklet that I'm holding is something most of us men think is, well, absolutely useless. It's an instruction manual, for heaven's sake. It's a waste of paper and ink, because when you have our bloke intelligence, our man brain, well, instinctively, we just know how things go together. We men don't have time to be bothered with all that reading and the boring details of how to put together the new gas barbecue. I mean, we can safely tell our wives, I've put together hundreds of these things, it's a piece of cake. And of course, 4 hours later, we're taking it back apart and putting it together again with our wife's help, because we left out something and the thing wouldn't go together right. Should have read the instructions. When we don't read the instructions, we waste a lot of time and we run into a lot of trouble and we get mad and we lose our temper and we say things we shouldn't and we break things and we throw things and we lose things and it's bad. All because we thought in our pride that we could do just fine on our own. Dads, listen, if we want to build a healthy family, we've got to read our instruction manual. We know that that is our Bible. Being a husband and a father is a complicated job. It's way beyond us, and we need help. So before we pick up another tool, we need to become as familiar as we can with the owner's manual. There's important information in here, as the guys up here have already said, that will tell us how to be a good husband, how to love and discipline our children, how to build a healthy home, how to be a man of God. Every tool belt has a hammer. When I think of a hammer, I'm thinking about consistency. You can't drive a nail into a piece of, well, in my day you called it a piece of 4x2. I don't know what that is in centimetres these days, but 4x2. And you've got to strike that nail repeatedly until the force eventually drives the nail home. And it takes a lot of 4x2s to build a house. Dads, God has given us a manual to help us build our home. That the problem is we think we can get by an occasional prayer here or a church service there, but we're not consistent. We often try to build haphazardly, and then when things start falling apart, we run to God for a quick patch job, or we pull out the instruction manual for a few days because we're failing, and we try to throw up some walls of support and we go at it furiously for a short period of time out of our desperation, maybe we just need to take some time off and take the kids swimming and take your wife out to eat and go to church together, maybe even say a prayer or two. But the hammer is a reminder to consistently stick with the plan. Get a spiritual rhythm going and keep hammering away at the right things, prayer and time with God and Christian friends and reading the Word and going to church, and keep driving away at the right things every day, and over the course of a lifetime, we'll build something that lasts. Somewhere in here it is. We call it a what? Shifting spanner, adjustable wrench. We need to be adaptable to situations as they arise. Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, "Fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master." Colossians says the same kind of thing this way. It says, "Parents, don't come down too hard on your children or you'll crush their spirits." So something that's adjustable. Easy if I put it there. You can see how much I use a tool belt. A level. Fathers need to be fair and level-headed. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says, "God-loyal people living honest lives make it much easier for their children." A screwdriver and a thermos. maybe a sense of humour and some relaxation. Because when we guys get into a project, it's hard to get us to stop. We get focused and all we can think about is the job. If we're not careful, we'll spend every waking hour trying to finish, sun up to sundown, totally absorbed. And let's be honest, fellas, sometimes we need to grab the thermos and take a break. We get wound up way too tight and stressed out and grumpy and tired and serious all the time. Maybe we need to take the screwdriver and loosen up a bit. If we don't have some stress relievers, we're not much fun to be around. So any real dad, good dad, needs a screw loose here and there. A sense of humour. Life's too short to be serious all the time. Have some fun. Learn to laugh at ourselves. Staple gun and a clamp. Fathers must be able to hold things together, I guess was the idea. So a staple gun and a clamp. Old pillowcases, underwear. Anyway, some rags. Because fathers aren't perfect. And they must be ready to clean up messes sometimes. So some rags to remind us about that. There's an extension cord. So fathers need to be able to stretch and able to do lots of different things. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, "Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll be best by filling your minds and meditating on things true and noble and reputable. Authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse." Cologne, how did that get in there? No, I know. Fathers must put mothers first. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting." There he is, am I? pliers. Fathers have got to be able to hold on when everyone else is losing their grip. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. This looks like fun. A rubber mallet. Fathers must be able to hold on. Oh, sorry. Fathers must be able to do some persuasion without doing damage. Titus 3 verse 1 says, remind the people to respect the government and be law-abiding, always ready to lend a helping hand. No insults, no fights. God's people should be big-hearted and courteous. You can borrow it later, Dads, if you need to. A level and a tape measure, kind of the idea of building with integrity. I mean, there are a couple of important tools for testing the integrity of things that we're building. Any builder knows that you can really mess something up just by a slight miscalculation in your measurements. You cut the outlet switch in the wrong place in the wall. Doesn't have to be off by very much to start causing problems. Same's true with a level. If we don't want our walls to be crooked, we have to make sure that they're on the level. If we get off just a little bit and we don't correct it, then everything's going to be a mess. So Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart, so I won't sin myself bankrupt. Kind of scripture is our level and our tape measure. We'll never measure up if we take our measurements from just the standards of the world around us. So here's just a couple of ways of measuring our integrity. One way is to be a man of our word. When we make a promise, we live by it. If we break a promise, particularly with our kids, we have to explain why we can't do what we said we'd do. Another way to help our integrity is to say no sometimes. If we don't discipline our children, we don't love them. Proverbs 13 verse 24 says, a refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them. If we let our children compromise all the time, then we aren't helping to build lives of integrity for ourselves and for them. We can live lives of integrity by proving that we can be trusted. One of our chief challenges as a father is to build a foundation of trust in each child so that they feel that they have a relationship with their father. Another thing we can do is live as if there is nothing to hide. Integrity means doing what's right even when no one is watching. So here's just a couple of tools then to help us think about how we get back on track. We've already talked about the instruction manual. If we've been putting things together the wrong way, we may need to dismantle and start rebuilding. So 2 Chronicles says, if you return to the Lord, then your brothers and your children will be shown compassion. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. He will not turn his face from you if you return to him. You may have made a real mess out of things, but if we get back to God, we begin to turn things around. Second thing is a watch, just as a reminder about time. Dads, our stats aren't good. The average father spends 15 minutes a week with his kids. 15 minutes. Nearly all men feel a responsibility to provide for their families. They take their God-ordained role as breadwinner seriously, maybe too seriously. Men who focus too much on providing aspects of fatherhood risk becoming ATMs for their families instead of a dad. Children need fathers who take active, caring, loving interest in their lives, and that's hard to do when we spend all our time at work. Another wrench there somewhere. Love these. This is a plumber's wrench. Kind of the more you push down on it, the more it tightens up on what you're trying to tighten. And we need to tighten up on our love and our commitment to our families. The problem is many homes, in many homes, is that dad simply isn't home anymore. The number of Aussie kids growing up without fathers has more than doubled in the last 40 years. And the results are devastating. Almost 75% of children living in single-parent families will experience poverty before they turn 11 years old, compared to only 20% of children in two-parent families. When Dad's not home, it not only hurts financially. Homes without fathers lead the nation in teen pregnancy, drug and alcohol abuse, violent crime, just to mention a few. Band-aids? Not up there. Yeah, okay. Way behind. Okay, band-aids. We need to take care of our wounds. This isn't something we usually find in a toolbox, but it's a good idea to have a box of band-aids in there, because when we're working with tools, trying to build something, accidents happen. Men get hurt. Men are often identified by what they do and not by who they are. So, mum and kids, give your dad a great present today. Tell him you love him just because of who he is, not because of what he does. Your dad may have lost his job or may be going through a rough transition time in life where he's questioning who he is and feeling like a failure. Let him know how much you love him. Men are taught from a young age not to feel or express emotions. A boy falls and gets hurt and we say, don't cry, be a man. And we teach that little boys to grow up into a man, and then they don't know how to let their true feelings show. Dads, it's not a sign of weakness to cry or show emotion. It communicates. Don't hold it in. And increasingly, men are becoming friendless and isolated. Men, we need a friend, someone you can talk to, someone who will hold you accountable, someone who will encourage you. So last thing, I guess, is don't quit until the job's done. What's a father? Somebody said fathers fight dragons almost daily. They're knights in shining armour. They march away each workday to the arena, which is sometimes called an office or a workshop. And there they tackle the dragon with three heads. Weariness, work and monotony. That mightn't be your situation, but you can see what it's trying to say. And they never quite win the fight, but they never give up. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 verse 1, listen, friends, to some fatherly advice. Sit up and take notice so you will know how to live. So how about we pray for our dads this morning so that they know how to live, and pray for them as they seek to be good dads. The musicians can come up in a minute, but why don't we get our dads who are here this morning down the front, and then we can get some rest of the congregation to come and lay hands on them. Not too hard. We want them alive as they leave here. So dads down the front. We'll do that first so the musicians can wait, because John's one of our dads. Well, let's get our dads just around the tool table. Great-granddads. Anyone who's a dad? Great-granddad. Granddad. Any fathers to be and we haven't heard the good news yet? No, all right. Okay, now we need a few families, kids, mums, anybody from the church family to come and lay hands on some of our dads. I'll come down there in a minute because I qualify, but I'll start off and then a few others can just pray for people. So while you're just getting ready to pray, here's a few words for dads that you might like to think about. Loving, strong, a leader, available, capable, discerning, hardworking, diligent, compassionate, forgiving. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for making fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers. Thank you that your work in my own dad was wonderful. I pray that the words of his mouth and the meditations of his heart were pleasing to you. And for all our fathers here, all their days, may they know their need for you and cling closely to your love. May they remain in you as a man, a husband, a father, an employer, an employee. And may they bear much spiritual fruit. I pray that they will overflow with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and worship you all the days of their lives in Jesus' wonderful name. Can I ask you just to pray for any of the folk around you, anyone who wants to pray? I'll come down here too. So if one or two people would like to pray on behalf of all of us,